Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting back to order. We've been in executive session. There was no decisions reached. There is no business being brought forward out of that discussion for us to consider. Is there anything else that we need to discuss on legal update for this morning?
Mr. Chair, actually, if we would take the opportunity to go through some items that are still pending or need to come.
Let's do that, okay.
That works?
Yes, that works.
Just going to go through my notes here is I've asked Chief Hart and Lieutenant Harold with an animal control officer. They're coming before the board and legal staff on 5-1.
On 5-1? Okay.
Give their input on the vicious animal ordinance.
Okay.
They reviewed the state of Idaho, the Greenleaf ordinance, and our current Canyon County ordinance. And just verbally, they've felt the state of Idaho has the best approach for what they experience, but they want to come talk to the board about that. And I know you requested that, Commissioner Holton, to get their input.
Yep.
So that's coming. I'm kind of pending to set up a workshop, and that's with the highway district and legal. That came from the code enforcement case that came up.
Okay, all right.
That's in the works. Again, working on Humane Society for FY26.
Chairman, can I ask a question? Chief, are you only inviting Golden Gate, or are you inviting other highway districts to participate in the workshop?
I'm actually going to engage with DST and see what they would like.
But okay.
At the very minimum, it'd be the board, legal, and DST, and then I'll get with them.
Thank you.
And then we're still working on the applications in on closing 11th Avenue between Albany and the tracks, so we can go forward with the mobile food trucks. Legal's poised and ready on the agreements on that. And we have in the works of an intake form to schedule that out. So that's in the works. Let's see. We're still pending a kind of an opinion from legal about enterprise funds being used for other expenses throughout the county that comes up for capital improvement. So that's still pending. And then,
Chairman and Chief, can you clarify that a little bit more? This would be more the byproducts of the gas emission, correct?
No, this is actually if the county comes up with a need for a capital improvement project.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Enterprise fund temporarily through an agreement. I know legal's work on this a little bit to see what that looks like with enterprise funds.
Thank you for clarifying. I missed that little section in between. So when I heard use enterprise funds, I thought, let me hear that again. Thank you.
So I'll make a note here publicly that the enterprise fund for the landfill, that we have to keep a measured amount for when we put it, whatever you want to call it, you put it to bed. You discontinue the use and you need to acquire a new set of properties. Our land fund or landfill is unique in the state, and we are not set for several decades. We are likely set for between 70 and 100 years. So to have money set aside that you can't borrow against or utilize in the next 70 to 100 years seems to be a almost a misappropriation of funds. And so should there be strong and clear guidelines on potentially borrowing from those funds? Absolutely. They should be able to be paid back no differently than a bond. You should be able to have to maintain and declare how you're going to pay back those funds. But it just seems to me that it's what a waste of money to have something sitting there for decades, half a century or more, easily, before you're ever even going to look at utilizing them. So that's what we're looking into. It's not that we're wanting to misappropriate funds in any manner.
Yeah, and thank you for your comments, Chairman. I appreciate that. It's good for the record.
Yeah. And then, Mr. Chair, there's one more on the drone ordinance update. Legal's working with Parks on the use of drones in park space. So that's in the works. That's actually back under the park side to review. So I would say overall, I think we're staying caught up between the legal stuff and it's coming before the board. So civil's doing really good, staying on top of things. Is there anything I'm missing, Aaron?
The only thing that I'm aware of that we might want to contemplate is that the issues coming, the ordinance, proposed ordinance changes that are coming back to us from going through P&Z hearings, we might want to have a workshop where we pull in some civil engineers that deal specifically with roads and roadways and some of the road contractors, and make sure that what we're proposing ordinance-wise fits current industry practices and standards. And just to make sure, I've had some phone calls from both engineers and some of the developers that they're concerned about the verbiage, and I haven't looked specifically at that. I just said that we might consider trying to put together an open workshop and to have some of that vetted and see where that goes, just to make sure that our words are attaining the goal that we think we're setting forth.
Chairman, has this passed review by the county's engineer? Is that what you're saying? There's some discrepancy between the civil engineers and what the county's?
That's one of the severe points of concern, if I understand their concerns correctly, is that the way it's currently drafted, solely the county engineer has the sole authority. And they're concerned that you have multiple licensed engineers that are in the state that do this work. And if that verbiage would be softened, that a licensed civil engineer who is familiar and currently involved in the art of designing roads and roadways be somehow allowed to also be brought forward as a viable work. So those skilled in the art shouldn't be excluded to the sole person of your current county engineer. That's their concern. I can see their argument, but mm-hmm. I would like to be in a workshop to vet that out and see where that goes.
I think that's a good idea.
So, Mr. Chair, as those ordinances come up and those topics of interest, we could use the DSD workshop times for those.
We could.
And then agendize accordingly.
Yeah. Advertise it out, get Aaron Williams to help us get that noticed. And okay. That's the other thing that I would know of at the moment.
Okay. That's all I've got as far as an update, but yeah, good job on keeping things up to date from legal.
Yes.
The other thing that I'm aware of, but this job is difficult because you wear so many different hats, but we need to have a legal opinion on the ambulance and whether they can or should, or whether we're going to be in favor as a county for them opting out of urban renewal. That's a new state law that just went into effect. And we sit on the ambulance board, and I'm not asking as an ambulance board member about this. I'm asking as a county commissioner about what the legalities and the possible impact that might be county-wise. So
okay.
I'd say that we need to pose that question to civil and have them review for the county's interest what that might look like.
Is that the county opting, is the ambulance district opting out of the
urban renewal district? Yeah.
Excuse me.
So ambulance districts and fire districts at this point. The state legislature has changed the rules to urban renewal. And it was the topic of spirited debate yesterday at Treasure Valley Partnership, who consists of both county commissioners and mayors. And typically, urban renewal is never a tool of the county. It's a tool of the cities. So,
does the ambulance district or fire districts, do they get any funding from that? Or any benefits, or do they pay into it, or?
To.
Urban renewal?
Well, they would lose a lack of increase in valuation and taxes collected because of the increase over their urban renewal time period. So if they opt out, then they receive increases in real time as taxes and valuations change. Otherwise, they're locked in at the date of the creation of the urban renewal till it sunsets. So as an example, Givanti created a multi-story building for their process. Nampa Rural was required to purchase a ladder truck that could reach to the top of that and put out the fire. But because Givanti is in a urban renewal district, Nampa Fire never received any increase of the valuation of the building and won't till the end of the urban renewal period. So they're required to provide services without the increase of the valuation of the structure. It's a complicated thing. Urban renewal is a tool that has its benefits, and so I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm just saying the Idaho legislature's gotten involved, and now they've made it complicated.
Again?
One cut at a time.
Do you have a deadline you want to discuss that? Is there an upcoming...
Probably within the next 30 days, because I would imagine as that the ambulance district is going to be concerned about it also. It'll have implications for their bond levy attempt about.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be in May.
Yeah.
The election.
That's coming up pretty shortly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Coming to an electorate near you.
Yeah, we moved their workshop until after the elections. So they knew exactly what they're doing, because that will have budget implications on how they go through their budget request.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
All I have.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay. I'd make a motion that we adjourn then.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are, motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you.